History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with Perry Springman and the Springmans. These guys are a family band from Canada who are touring Australia at the moment. I've had them at my church recently, absolutely amazing. And they've got all sorts of CDs they've released. They've got a YouTube channel and they've got a great history with a connection to Australia as well. We're going to hear a bit of that story. Let's give a big hello to the whole family. Say hello on the count of three. One, two, three.
Hello.
It's good to have you all in the studio. Let's start with Perry, the dad. Hello. So, mate, tell us a bit of your background. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Saskatchewan, which is a province in Canada. Mm-hmm. Lived there until I was 10, but then moved out to the West Coast and live in Vancouver, and I've lived in that area ever since.
Now, I heard you share your testimony of being raised Jewish recently. And coming to Christ a bit later on. Yep. Tell us a bit about your testimony.
Well, you know, when I was a little kid, I discovered that I had to go to Hebrew school. And, you know, every week we'd have to drive an hour to, you know, learn about God in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Of course, they didn't call it the Old Testament. But I would, you know, learn the language and also learn what's called mofter. And that's my preparation for bar mitzvah. And which is not an easy thing to do. It's a very long and complicated scripture that I had to memorize, and it was from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. It takes about 30 minutes to actually recite it and sing it, and I would have to do that in front of the whole congregation, about 400 people. So, you know, when you're 13 years old and have to do a bar mitzvah, that's kind of a scary thing. But what I remember most about doing that then was I couldn't wait for it to be done because it didn't have any great meaning in my life. You know, I was basically, you know, doing this because my parents wanted me to have my bar mitzvah because that's what Jewish boys did. But it didn't have any deep meaning to me, not spiritually. And so when I finally had my bar mitzvah, I was very glad to have done with that and move on with my life. And so after that, I wasn't interested in anything to do with God or religion, and certainly not Christianity. Through high school, I had met some Christians that I would see in the cafeteria at our school, and they were kind of the oddballs, I guess you could say, of the students. They hung out in this one area in the cafeteria, and they were always laughing and goofing off and being, you know, seemed like to me being silly, but I didn't really know them. But there was one kid in my one of my classes, his name was Tim, and I got to know him, and he was part of that group, and he just seemed like a really down-to-earth kid, was nice, he didn't judge me, he was a good student, good at sports, and just kind of a nice person to be around, and he started inviting me to some of the stuff at his church, and I would start to go to some of these events, but I would have to do it on the sly, because I couldn't let my parents know that I was going to a church, because that would be extremely shameful. They were a little bit concerned when they heard that I was hanging out with this Tim, and that they'd heard that he was a Christian, but they didn't know I was going to church events. This went on 2-3 years. I started to do more stuff with them, and then went to some events. I went to a coffee house where I heard the gospel. And again, these people were so loving towards me, and I wasn't the nicest person to them a lot of times. I mean, I definitely abused their trust by just coming to events intoxicated and stuff like that. I wasn't always the best.
Yeah.
But as I learned more about who Jesus was and discovered that he's Jewish, that this was a Jewish God they believed in. Mm. That surprised me. I had never heard that before. I remember when we were driving, when I was a little kid, and we'd be driving to my Hebrew lessons in Saskatchewan, we drove through this town, and there was this church, and it said, Jesus saves. I remember, and it was a cross in the shape of a cross. Jesus saves. And my mom always used to make a joke, and she'd say, yeah, Jesus saves, but Moses invests.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So, but that was my, that was all I knew about Christianity or the church.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until I, you know, actually met real Christians and found out that they're great people. They have feelings. They can be hurt. Mm. But that they had something much stronger in their lives to support them, something I didn't have. Because what did I have? I had partying, I had, you know, substance abuse, relationships, but none of those things would hold up. None of those things would hold the test for happiness and peace in my life. And so, yeah, when I was 19, I finally just gave my heart to Jesus, and I kept that from my family for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And then one day I came home and my parents had, I guess, been in my room, and they saw had a Bible and some other like Christian literature, and they found that, and I still remember them like, what is this?
Yeah.
And they're standing there at the top of the stairs holding this. And I could just see the hurt on their faces because they knew that something was going on, and it's a very shameful thing for them. My dad was in the Canadian military. He fought in World War II against the Nazis, was part of the Canadian contingent that liberated Holland and Belgium. And for him, he didn't hate Christians. He certainly didn't hate Christians, but he saw what, in, at least in Europe, what a lot of the Christians didn't do. Unfortunately, he didn't see what the Christians did do, because there were many, many, many Christians that not only hid and protected Jews, but gave their lives doing it. Unfortunately, he didn't see that. So I think he was probably hurt the most. So that was hard for me to be a part of them. And they, you know, they sent me to the rabbi, and I had to go meet with him. The rabbi was trying to straighten me out. And I remember at one point he was just asking me all these theological questions, and, you know, from the Bible. And I didn't know. I mean, I'd only been a Christian, probably less than a year. Actually, at that time, it was probably only 6 months even. And I finally said, look, I don't know. I don't know how to answer any of your questions. All I know is that I'm different now, very different now, and I didn't do it.
Awesome. Love it. Great testimony.
Thank you.
We've got the kids here in the studio too, and I saw you performing a beautiful Jewish song recently.
Sure.
And I'd love for you guys to do that for us today. Is that all right?
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll do like a 2-minute version, just the highlight bit of it, but we're going to do a beautiful version of this song. And when you did this last night, I had shivers up my spine. It's got such a beautiful anointing on it, this song. And it's just even more special when you realize that you had a Jewish background and now you're born again.
Yeah.
So what's this song called?
This song is called Hear, O Israel, and written with Mark Heimerman and I. Mark Heimerman is the producer that did this album. So.
Okay. All right. We'll take it away, guys.
Okay. Thanks.
Shema Israel. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
awesome. Come on, give it up.
Thank you
so much, guys. Absolutely beautiful. That is a live version of the Springmans. And we've just heard Perry share a bit of his testimony, coming to Christ after being raised in a Jewish household, coming to Christ at the age of 19. Now, tell me, how did your life change after that moment?
Wow, so many things in my life changed. The thing I noticed right away, I kind of had a potty mouth back then. And so just the way I spoke, the words I used, that was gone. And I mean, how did that happen? I mean, that was one of those things when I was trying to tell our rabbi, look, I don't know, it's just gone. Things have changed and I didn't do it. And then, of course, just having, you know, not being afraid of everything, you know, that was gone. And then having feeling like a purpose and that God's has a future and a plan for me and knowing that.
Mm.
Of course, you know, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do in life, but I knew that I didn't want to follow into the family business, that making money and, you know, all that kind of stuff wasn't my kind of big dream and goal anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I ended up going to Bible school down in Seattle, did that for a couple of years, and then eventually worked myself into working as a youth pastor in a church in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I kind of got into doing music as well.
Mm.
So, and then along the way, just seeing, you know, how God can take a life. And I wasn't terribly skilled at anything. I didn't go to university. I didn't go to college. I went to Bible school and I learned biblical things.
Mm.
But God was able to take that. And I think of back in high school, I was in the high school band,
mm-hmm.
and I played bass drum. And then I moved to oboe. Not very good at that. I mean, I don't even know why I did it, because I just didn't want to do shop, I guess. But I remember at the end of one of our school years, everyone in the band got an award. It was kind of a joke award, you know, like smiliest, you know, flute player and whatever, tallest, you know, bassoon player. I don't know. But I got, and they were all kind of joke awards, but I got this little plastic trophy, and it was least likely to succeed in music. That was my award. You know, at the time, I wasn't like, I wasn't bummed, because I had no plans to do music.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you what God can do with somebody who's willing to be used. I wasn't planning on being a musician.
Mm.
I really thought I was going to be an electrician or something,
because
that was interesting to me. But God took what was in my heart, I wasn't a worship leader. And I always tell people this, if you have that in your heart, God can build the skills.
Amen. That's so good. Yeah. Now, let's fast forward.
Okay.
I got messaged by a friend of mine recently named Hudson Dale. He's a real estate agent, good buddy of mine. And he said, there's this band coming to Australia called the Springmans. He said, I got saved at one of their concerts when I was a teenager at school, and they're out in Australia. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So we booked you guys to come to our church, and here we are at the radio, you know. But when you came out here and performed in schools, when my mate Hudson got saved, so that was the band Perry and the Poor Boys, is
that's
that right?
Yeah.
So you guys toured around the world, did you?
Yeah. We toured from, all over Eastern Europe, through the Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Russia.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, and that was through Youth for Christ, which is the organization that brought us here first. When Hudson met us.
Now, you and I were chatting before, and you were name-dropping some of the amazing producers. And,
oh, I didn't mean to name-drop.
No, I love that. So tell me all the guys that you've worked with.
I think our first well-known person would be Mike Rowe from the 77s.
Oh, I love that
so
band.
We did too. I met the 77s. The first time was when I was still a youth pastor in San Diego. My kids wanted to go to Knott's Berry Farm, and we saw the 77s play at a New Year's Eve event they had at Knott's Berry Farm. And I couldn't believe this was a Christian band. The stuff that they were doing on stage, I mean, in a good way.
Cool, yeah.
It was
cool,
just like their music was incredible. Their show, Mike Rowe was an amazing guitar player and performer.
Yeah.
And so I didn't meet them there, but then I saw them four or five times over the course of a couple of years at different places. I became a bit of a groupie, and I'd bring my youth group kids, and they loved the music.
Yeah.
But every time I went there, they always remembered my name.
Oh, nice.
Like the drummer, Aaron Smith. Do you remember Aaron?
Yeah, okay.
Great drummer. But all the guys would remember my name and always amaze me. Yeah. Anyway, years later, when I started the band, Perry and the Poor Boys, we were talking about doing an album. And at that time, the Poor Boys were made up of There's a guy from Chicago, two guys from Sweden, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, well, who should we get to produce it? And my first thought was Mike Rowe. I don't know if he produces or not. I mean, he produces his own music.
Yep.
So I called him up, and lo and behold, he actually wrote me back or called me back and said, yeah, you know. So I went to his house and spent a week at his house doing pre-production.
Yeah, cool.
And I still remember that very first morning, sat down at his kitchen table, and I played him on my guitar.
Yeah.
Not this one. I played him on my guitar some of these songs. And he wrote down some notes. And one of the songs, it's called The Sweater. And he wrote on it, and I saw these notes later. He says, I got to show you something. This is after we recorded the song. It turned out to be his most favorite song. But he wrote on it, on the notes beside it, this is terrible.
Oh, there you go.
It was just a guitar, it just didn't sound like anything. But it ended up being his favorite song.
And did you say that you went to the same church as the guys from Switchfoot at one stage?
Well, we played there. We didn't go there, but I mean, they're from North County, San Diego. Yeah. Mark Heimerman is the guy that has produced our last two albums.
Okay.
So the Springman's albums have been produced by Mark Heimerman. He also produced two of our Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
That we recorded.
Very cool.
Mark, I met when I was living in Minnesota, met lots of people, and then, you know, started touring. When I came back and I was looking for an opportunity to do some concerts, I heard of a guy named Steve Gould, who was a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
He played with Owl City.
Mm-hmm.
So he played and toured with Owl City for quite a bit. Anyway, Steve did some tours with me, with our band. And when he heard that I wanted to record a kid's album, he said, oh, I've got a friend that I do a lot of studio work for. His name's Mark Heimerman. Maybe he'd be interested in producing, you know, your kid's album. And I said, Mark Heimerman? I'm like thinking, the Mark Heimerman?
Yeah.
And I said, there's no way that Mark Heimerman would want to produce a kid's album. Well, actually, he did. He
awesome.
Was a great guy. He invited me over to his home. I met him and his wife and talked about it. He heard a couple of the demos that I had. And he says, yeah, let's do this. Turns out he's just a big kid.
Wow, that's
and,
so cool.
You know, but I actually saw him play with Michael W. Smith, Amy Grant back in the late 80s, I guess.
Yeah. So cool. Okay. So we're going to wrap this up now. And before we wrap it up, let's get the kids to say who you are and what instruments you play. Over to you, brother.
My name is Jacob. I play violin and sing.
I'm Ryan, and I play drums and mandolin.
Okay, and how old are you guys again?
I'm 16.
16, and
you're... And my brother's 13.
13, yep.
My name is Emma, and I play ukulele and mandolin. I am 19.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
My name is Sarah. I am 14, and I play the keyboard and often keyboard bass.
Very cool. And I should just mention that the kids are homeschooled. Their mum is the teacher and the dad's the headmaster. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Well, you guys are like the Von Trapp family or the Partridge family. You're traveling the world. You're recording albums. Yeah. If people want to find out more, they can search up the Springmans on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube,
mm-hmm.
at the Springmans, right?
And
our website is thespringmans.com.
Very cool. Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Give us a big goodbye on the count of three. One, two, three.
Goodbye. G'day.
Thanks, guys. I reckon you're all history makers.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.